Just anywhere, it's all good. Amen. Just we'll start out in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Brother Peterson said I have to preach again. I had to turn my piece of paper over in my other sermon. So you can see, brother, it's got some wear and tear on it. So we'll see how to go tonight. Amen. Amen. We'll start out in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, when it starts out there in Timothy, 2 Timothy, you know, you probably already know that that's the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Timothy, and he says there in 2 Timothy 4, 5, he starts out, says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The Apostle Paul there is at the end of his life. And I want to just preach to you a little bit about a subject here, and I'll get to it in just a minute. But, you know, this life is filled with regrets and disappointments. And Job said, "Man is born into trouble as the sparks fly upward." As sure as you got a pulse, you're going to be in trouble. There's something going to be going on. The dishwasher's going to break. The car is going to blow up. I mean, there's always going to be something to keep you busy, keep you active, working against something. I was telling Brother Hoffman earlier that, senior, that I was telling him, you know, he said first day of planting was pretty rough because you got to go out there and fix everything and get all the leaks together and whatever else is going on. I could imagine that'd be a big job. But, you know, and I told him, Dr. Hovind said one time, if you believe in evolution, you've got a used car or something wrong with you. And that's usually the way it is. Something always going wrong. And it's born, you're born to trouble. You know, it's going to be there, but how you deal with it is what God is interested in. The Bible says, "Redeeming the time, for the days are evil." And a lot of people don't redeem their time just right for the Lord Jesus Christ. This thing says here, it says, "A great deal better to do all the things you should do than to spend the rest of your life wishing that you had." I'll read it again. It says, "It is a great deal better to do all the things you should do than to spend the rest of your life wishing you had." A lot of people go through life and they say, "Man, I wish I would have done this when I was 20 years old. I wish that I would have invested in this. I wish I would have done that. I wish I would have done more for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish, I wish, I wish." The Apostle Paul came to the end of his life and he said, "For I am now ready to be offered." Would to God that we would get to the end of our life, we would look around and say, "For I am now ready to be offered." He come to the end of his life, and I think it says in another place, it does actually say, he said, "I am free from the blood of all men." Man, can you imagine having a testimony like that? And you know what he said after that? He said, "I tell the truth," he said, "by the Holy Ghost given we witness," he said, "that I lie not." You know, if anybody in this room made that statement, I'd have to say, I don't know. But the Apostle Paul, when he made that statement, he said, in the Holy Ghost, he said, "I lie not." He said, "I'm not telling you a lie." He said, "I came to the end of my life," and he said, "I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." And, you know, would to God we'd come to the end of our life that way. And I want to preach to you a little bit about living with no regrets. The old saying is, you know, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Jesus Christ is what's going to last. Everything else you see is going to burn up. It's going to rot away. The moth's going to get it. It's going to just deteriorate and fall apart. And, you know, you drive down through here, especially here, you see these, the time I've spent here, you go down through there, down the road, and you'll see these old farm trucks sitting there. You know, that was in the 40s, man, they would have been a nice truck. But now they're nothing but a rotten junk heap of metal sitting there, and it's just a sight for sore eyes. It's just disgusting out there. But, you know, at one time, that was somebody's pride and joy. They got that thing and they washed it every week and took good care of it, but then it just deteriorated and went to pot. Finally, eventually, that's what everything's going to do. And you need to do something right now that's going to matter, that's outside, and you need to see the invisible. And that's what Christians do. They stop walking by faith and start walking by sight. And when you do that, you're going to stop seeing the invisible. And you're going to start walking in the flesh. And everything that you touch is going to do with what affects you, how it makes you feel, and you're going to start living inward and not outward. not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to have a life, if you do that, you're going to have a life filled with regret and remorse and just sick when you come to the end of your life. And I'll give you a contrast here. Look at Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. You know the story? Lazarus and the rich man. The Bible says there, in Luke chapter 16, verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day, lived like a king. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The rich man said this, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. What was important to Lazarus was not what was important to the rich man. He had something that was going to bind him up for eternity. The rich man didn't. But I'll go on down through here. And besides all this, between you and us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said, if they have hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You know what the rich man got? He got to the end of his life. He got to the end of eternity, basically, because that was all that was left for him, was burning in a lake of fire there for all eternity. And he came to that point, and you know what he did? He got a burden after he was in eternity. He got to where he realized what was important too late. What I want to warn you about tonight is don't realize what's really important too late. You know what? Everybody that steps one foot in the presence of Jesus Christ realize that they should have done things different. If I would have only known, if I would have only known that Jesus Christ was real, that He is there in heaven, you know what? We say we believe in Him. We say that we live for Him. We say that we're saved by His blood. But do you live like it? Do you live like you're going to stand before Him one day and have to give an account? Boy, I don't sometimes. Sometimes I don't. And one of these days I'm going to be face to face with Him. These two lives here, the rich man came to the end of his and he said, man, I wish. He said, go back and preach to my brothers. Go back over there and do some things differently. But it's too late. It was too late. He said, no, that's not going to happen. You know what? You're going to come to the end of your life, and if you're saved, you're going to look at Jesus Christ right in the face, and you're going to say, man, I wish that I would have done some things differently. And you're going to be filled with regret. If you don't change some things right now, if you don't change your life and what you're doing and what your goals are, hey, if your goals is to make a lot of money, guess what? God might just let you do that. If your goal is to finish school and get a good education and a good degree, hey, I'm not saying anything's wrong with those two things. But I'm saying if that's your God and that's what's important to you and not serving Jesus Christ, you might just get your wish. And then at the end of your life, you'll look back and say, man, what did I squander that all away for? I talked to a man the other day in our church, and he's sitting there. He has seven children, and him and his wife got a divorce. He's standing there talking to me after they'd been married for, I guess, 15, 20 years, and they divorced. She's with another man. And he'd made a big purchase, bought a golf course, and he told me this. He said, I had everything that I ever wanted, but I lost what I had. He said, I had all the money that I wanted. He said, I had my dream of owning a golf course. He said, I had all those things, and right out from under me, the devil took what was important to me. And you know what? That's what you'll find yourself. You'll be reaching for that carrot that the devil has put out there that there's nothing wrong with. But you'll make that your goal in life and your desire to go after that. And when you obtain it, it's empty. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. You better watch what you're falling in love with. You're going to fall in love with the wrong thing sometimes. Anybody ever been guilty of that? Amen? Just fall in love with cars, fall in love with recreation, and there's nothing wrong. See, there's nothing wrong with that. And that's what the devil keeps telling us. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, come on. That's how he leads you off. And see, if you're not careful, you're going to fill your life up with the unimportant things, and in 20 years from now, you're going to see how much you wasted. Wasted, and when you could have used it for Jesus Christ. I'm not going to make the application. You'll have to make the application where you can use it best for Jesus Christ. But I see here in verse 24, he said, and he cried and said, Father Abraham. You know what? He got a little bit of zeal too late. Hey, do you think Abraham? You think that the rich man was just saying, hey, Father Abraham. No, he cried and he said, Father Abraham! And probably a lot louder than that to get his attention. You know what? He got zeal, but it was too late. Some of you need to get some zeal for Jesus Christ and say, I don't care. I'm not going to sit down, shut up, back down, back off. I'm going to do something for Jesus Christ. I'm going to preach. I'm going to pass out tracts. I'm going to say something at where I work. And I'm going to say something to my family and try to get them out of hell. Amen. That's what you ought to do. He got some zeal for his family members that was lost, but it was too late. But it's too late. It was too late. He had some zeal for the Lord, but it's too late. He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And he goes on to say, but Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things. You know what? Some of you are going after some good things. Some real good things. And I won't fill in the blank. I'll let you fill in the blank. You know what they are. I don't know what they are. I could say, it might be college. Hey, if it's not the will of God for you to go to school, you better not do it. I was 17 years old. I was going to school to be a doctor. And I had one nursing degree, and I was going to get another nursing degree and get my medical degree to be a doctor. God called me to preach at 17. You know what I did? I started preaching. You know why? It's a great high calling. It's much more, it's bigger. Hey, I heard a guy say one time you'd have to step down to become the president of the United States. You really would, amen. Nowadays, especially. Man, what a mess. But, you know, the rich man had heard the truth many times, but he rejected it and turned up his nose at the truth. But now in hell, he regrets not answering God's call. He also regrets his brothers may have had to come to hell because of him. He said he had five brothers. I just kind of believe he's probably the eldest of them all, and he probably led them on the path to hell. Probably led them down the wrong road. Hey, I wrote down in the top of the margin of my Bible one time, Jason, somebody is always looking up to you. No matter how sorry of an example you are, and mess up or do good or whatever, somebody's always looking up to you. You're going to be a good example or a bad example. You ought to be a good example, amen. But most of us serve as a bad example a lot of the times of what not to do. I've been guilty of that quite a few times. But God called and he didn't answer. You know what? God's calling some of you right now. God may be calling you to the mission field. He may be calling you to go across the road to witness to your neighbor. He may be calling you to stop working where you're at and start full-time in the ministry. I don't know what God's doing with you. But I guarantee you, God is interested in your life right now, and he wants to do something with you other than just living everyday, normal life, going through the motions and just living and dying. God didn't put you here for that. You know what he put you here for? His pleasure. His pleasure. God wants to spend some time with you. Hey, you know who wakes me up in the morning? God. You ought to get in the habit where God wakes you up in the morning and you spend some time with him. Amen? And get alone with the one that bought you with his own blood and sacrificed his life for you. You ought to give him some of your life and make your life worth living for Jesus Christ. Have you answered God's call? God is not willing that any should perish. You know, can you honestly say, along with the Apostle Paul, you've answered every time God's called you to do something? You say, what do you mean? Hey, it could be something as simple as, hey, don't look in that direction. It could be something as simple as, hey, you don't need to be reading that. Hey, you don't need to be listening to that. Hey, you need to turn a channel. You're watching the wrong thing. Hey, you need to get off your rear end and go up, get out and do something because you're too lazy. Hey, the Holy Spirit speaks to me that way. I don't know if He does to you, but He does, and He'll speak to you. And a lot of people can't hear His voice because they've got it blocked up with so many things and so much stuff that's unimportant, that doesn't matter. And Jesus Christ is trying to get a bit of your time, and you're not letting Him do it. Elijah, the Lord spoke to Elijah, and the Bible says He spoke to him in a still, small voice. Just real quiet. Hey, I almost believe that Elijah had to be listening. You know what I do sometimes? I'll get on my face and I'll pray, and I'll get up in the morning and I'll just pray, and I'll never shut my mouth long enough and listen for God to speak. Sometimes we have to do that. Sometimes you need to just be quiet and let God speak to you instead of you running your mouth all the time. We get up there sometimes, we just tell God about every one of our problems and how bad we've got it and what we need, and then we say, okay, case closed, shut the door, good talking to you, God, talk to you later. And we don't ever give Him a chance to speak to us, and we need to. When Elijah was over there, he didn't come in the thunderings and the lightnings and the great things out of the, you know, speaking. He just come in there real easy. You know what? I almost believe you have to be listening. God wants you to be listening. When God calls, you better answer. You know, I see these two men, and I get another example of regret and just these different things. The nearer the time comes for our departure from this life, the greater our regret for wasting so much of it. Hey, the closer you get to dying, the closer you get to getting graduated into heaven and going to meet your Savior, you know what? The older you get, the more you regret, amen? The older I get, I'm 26 years old, the older I get, the more I regret the things I did 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And I guarantee you some of the ones that are older would give the young people a testimony that, hey, I regret how I spent my life 25 years ago, 30 years ago. You ought to listen to their testimonies. And how that they would tell you, hey, you've got a chance to do something for Jesus Christ, to make a difference, to speak up, and to live a life that's pleasing and godly in His sight. Do it while you have the chance. Do it while you have a chance. My brother, we grew up together, of course, in a small town there, and about 10 years old, my mom and dad got he was about 10 years old when my mom and dad got a divorce, and my dad was a drunk, my mom was a prescription drug addict, my grandpa's a drunk, just a rough family, rough background, none of my family was saved, I was the first one in my family to get saved, just a rough crowd. I told the story the other day. Half people don't believe half the stories I tell when I tell them about my family. That's some rough stuff. My dad was drunk one night and on some drugs, came around my grandpa's house, which was his dad, beating on the house with a 2x4 all the way around the house, and then kicked the front door in about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. My grandpa was standing there to greet him with a 25 automatic, and he gladly accommodated him with a bullet to the leg. And he said, I eat bullets for breakfast, old man. Could I have another one? So he shot him again. And he said, I guess it's time for me to leave. And he left and didn't go to the hospital for 2 weeks. It set up gangrene, almost had to cut his leg off. My uncle is in prison, just got out the other day for first-degree murder. Been there for 18 years. My great-grandpa was a murderer. My great-great-grandpa was a murderer. My grandpa was a murderer. And 4 or 5 generations down, just a rough crowd, man. That's what I grew up with. My brother, he came through that. Mom and dad got a divorce, and it hurt him real bad. It hurt him. It really hurt him. And he ran off, and my dad ran off with another woman. And my brother grew up, and when he grew up, he followed suit. He became a drunk and a drug addict and fornicator and all those things that came along with it. Grew up and followed suit. 19 years old, he was hooked on prescription, or he was hooked on crystal meth. I don't know if some of you know what that is or not, but a real powerful drug. He got on that, had been on it for about a year, and was strung out for about 2 weeks on it. He took a 12-gauge shotgun and put it to his chest and pulled the trigger. My uncle said the last few minutes he was alive, he said he looked into his eyes after he pulled the trigger, and he looked as though he wished that he could take it back. Listen. Some of you are standing right on the edge, and you're fixing to pull the trigger, and I'm not talking about to blow your brains out or shoot yourself, but you're going to make a decision in your life that you can't reverse, that you can't take back, that's going to land you up full of regret and sinful and ashamed and disgusted. Don't pull the trigger. Do right. Do right. Don't do it. But I remember as when I went in there that night, they called my mom up and said, "Hey, your son's dead up here." And they came up there to the mortuary. And I remember it was about 10 or 11 o'clock at night, maybe midnight. And they had him spread out there on that table. And they had him spread out there. And he was in a body bag up to his neck. He'd shot himself in the heart and just blew his chest out and just covered with blood. And his eyes were asphyxiated open. And they used to be real blue, and they just were brown because all the blood had went out. And I remember as she walked into the room, she just collapsed on the floor. That was her baby. And I remember her getting back, dragging herself up off the floor, and we were holding her up because she couldn't stand under the weight of her own body. And she got into her purse, just out of her head almost, and she got a comb out, and she got down next to his head, and she began to comb his hair. And she whispered in his ear, and she said, "I wish that I would have lived different. I wish that I wouldn't have done those things that I did. I wish you didn't have to see me do those things. I wish that I would have done..." And she just went on for about 10 minutes. Hey, it was too late. It was too late. Hey, listen, my dad did the same thing. He said his last piece, he was standing on the other side, and he looked at him and said, "Son, I wished I wouldn't have drunk. I wish I wouldn't have done those things. I wish..." But it was too late. Regret. It was too late. Remorse. Filled with sin. It was too late. And it's a sad shame that that's the way it has to happen. But listen, you mess around with drugs and sin and the flesh and filth, you can never predict the outcome of a bad decision. Never. You just have to do right and stay away from those bad decisions. And that's what I'd encourage you to do. Live with no regrets. I like this bumper sticker. Brother Hoffman had to preach a funeral just recently, but I saw this bumper sticker. It said, "Live so the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral." Boy, isn't that the case? You get some dead stiff in the box up here, and there's a preacher up there, and he's just telling about how good they are, and they want nothing good about them. Lost, on their way to hell, sorry as anything, and the preacher has to come up with something good to say about them to help the family. And that's the way it is. Live so the preacher won't have to lie at your funeral. Boy, that's good. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Do something for Jesus Christ so that when you check out of this life and check into the next one, hey, he can get up and say, "Hey, this guy was in church every time the doors was open. He preached on the street. She did things in the church. He did that." And hey, he can have something to say about you, amen, if it comes to that point. And you can be a testimony in your death. And be a testimony to everybody else that knew you. I like that. I like that bumper sticker. I just thought I'd throw that in there for free. When God calls, answer. What God says, believe it. You know what our problem is a lot of the times? When God says something, we don't believe it. I heard this preacher say one time, he said, it'd do us all some good to spend some time in hell. You know why? Hey, you can't see hell because you don't walk by faith. You don't believe what you read when it says the rich man. Hey, you know, I've heard that story so many times. Hey, it's true. He died, the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Hey, those friends, those family you've got, when they check out of this life and they don't know Jesus Christ, they go straight to hell without a judgment. The judgment's already been passed and they're dead and in hell. And you know what? It doesn't affect you, it doesn't move you, it doesn't bother you. Because you don't believe it. If the middle of this aisle opened up and you could hear the screams of hell and how hot it was and the torments, you know what? It'd change you. You'd have a burden for souls that you'd never had before. You'd have a burden for your family. Do you believe the Bible when it says, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." What God says, believe it. Hey, listen, if you sow to the flesh, of the flesh you're going to reap corruption. But the good thing about that, if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap life everlasting. Thank God for that negative and positive side to that, amen? We get so much of the negative side of it, we forget the positive. Hey, that's a two-way street on that verse, amen? It'll go both ways. I thank God that when I got a hold of that, they say, when I preach in the jail a lot, I preached the other night when we were down there. We just came from Brewton, Alabama, which is about an hour outside of Pensacola, and preached there, was it last night? Sometime or another, I don't know where I'm at. I've been driving since 8 o'clock last night and got here. But we preached in there, and six guys got saved. And they got saved in there. But I tell them about that, and they say in the jail, what goes around comes around. And you've heard that saying. It's a worldly saying, but hey, that's what it is. What goes around comes around. If you try to do something for Jesus Christ and try to love Him and adore Him and serve Him, guess what? Those ships that are going to start coming back in are going to be good ships. Thank God, won't you send some good things out so some good things will start coming in? You know what people always saying to me? Anything ever happens to me is just bad, 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 bad. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of ships are you sending out? What kind of fruit, what kind of seeds are you planting? Amen? Hey, that Bible's right and it's true and I believe it. And hey, you plant some good fruit, you could plant some good seeds. Some good fruit's going to come up. Amen? And that Bible's right. You know what? If you believed in heaven and hell and the judgment of lost souls, you'd be different. You're going to die one day, and you're going to have to stand before Jesus Christ. You're going to have to look at your life right now. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. You need to examine your life right now with spiritual eyes. You look at, you're so used to going through the motions and going through every day and just walking in the flesh. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk through every day of life and you walk through, and when you examine your life, you know what the Bible says? Every man, his own lips will proclaim his own goodness. The Bible says every way of man is right in his own eyes, right? And you know what? We get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we look at our life and we say, hey, I'm doing pretty good. I mean, my bills are paid, everything's going all right, and hey, have you ever thought maybe that's the devil got you right where he wants you? Hey, the most spiritual times in my life, the best times in my life that I've had is when I didn't have anything. I remember living in this cardboard trailer that was probably 8 feet wide, 10 feet long, and lived in that thing, and I was closer to God in that thing than I've ever been in my life. It had a hole in the roof about that big, and water just gushed through when it rained. I put a bucket up there, but it still come through. That's when I first went down to school, and I drug that trailer down across two states to go to school, and I was determined I was going to go to school. If I had to park that thing in the parking lot, I'd come in at night, slosh through the water with a smile on my face, and thank God for the place that I had that would hold heat at least, and get in the bed and thank God for it. And hey, you know what? Some of the worst thing that could happen to you is you get a lot of money and be taken care of and be comfortable. Hey, you know what? It do you good sometimes to do without some things. So you could see what you really are and see what Jesus Christ really means to you. I'd be sad to say, if you lost everything tomorrow, how would your relationship with God be? I don't know. But it'd be a test, huh? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says this: according to the grace that of God, which is given unto me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know what the main theme of that right there is? Look at verse 12 there. Verse 13, every man's what? Work. Because, and then going down there, and it says, at the end of it, try every man's. Verse 14, verse 15, if any man's. Hey, you know what he's trying to get across to you? Work! That's real hard, isn't it? You know what the Lord's trying to get you to look at? Hey, put your spiritual glasses on, put your spiritual eyes on and say, what work have I done for Jesus Christ this week that's going to make a difference in eternity? What work have I done today for Jesus Christ that's going to make a difference in eternity? What work is going to be put on the fire and go through the fire and last for all eternity? Hey, you got up this morning, maybe 7 o'clock this morning, and it's 7 o'clock now, you've almost 8 o'clock. You've had almost 12, 13 hours to do something or say something for Jesus Christ since you've been awake. What have you done? What have you said? Boy, that's hard, isn't it? But you know what? You need to put your spiritual eyes on sometimes and examine. The Bible says, let a man so examine himself. You need to examine your life, not in the light of your own standards, but the Bible says that you need to have a mirror. And you need to examine your life in light of the Word of God to see what it's really made of. And see what it really is all about. And see what you can do for Jesus Christ. When you can think of yesterday without regret and tomorrow without fear, you're near real contentment. When you can think of yesterday without regret and tomorrow without fear, that's a real big statement there. When you can think of yesterday without regret, you didn't do anything that's going to last, that's going to hurt you from yesterday, and you didn't sow something back there that you're going to have to reap and wait for something to come in tomorrow. Man, I'm glad that I ain't waiting for a phone to ring or somebody to say something and somebody to find me out. I think there was a preacher in England, I can't remember his name, but he wrote to 30 of his companions, or 30 people he wrote to, and he sent a telegram, and he said, all is known, flee. All 30 of them left. Can you imagine? Hey, if you got a letter in the mail today that said, all is known, fix it. Hey, that'd be scary. I often joked around with another preacher, since the internet is so popular these days, that I would joke around and say, I know of one man in this room that's been caught up with that stuff, and I'm going to name him tonight. Can you imagine? People's heart would start sinking if they were guilty. That'd be scary. But I wouldn't do that. I'm not that mean, Brother Hoffman. I don't reckon, maybe not. But every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. We hear these verses so many times, we get so accustomed to them and so used to them, they don't mean anything to us anymore. We don't really believe them. When God calls answer, when He says something, believe it. And you know what else? When God, what God says, proclaim it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says there in 2 Timothy 4, 2, it says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but with after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And this is where Paul goes into his last words right there. That's the last words of Paul right there. He's writing and he says, hey, what you need to be doing is find out something from the Word of God and tell others about it, amen? Hey, get in the Word of God and find out something you've never seen before, never found out about. Hey, just talk to the pastor about it. Say, hey, I just learned this from the Word of God. You know what? It'd excite him and excite you, and it'd be exciting to talk about something other than football, baseball, basketball, or something else, amen? We fill our words up with all these things when we could be talking about the Word of God and how exciting it is and if it's real to us, and do something about it, amen? But we don't. We find out about the truth and we soak it up and we learn more about it and we become fat cats in the Word of God. And we just take it all in, but we don't ever give it out. You know what James said? Be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. You know what? A lot of people in this room deceived. Thinking they're all right because they're sitting in church and they're hearing the Word of God and they're growing. Hey, it's no good unless you're practicing it and putting it out. Amen. The word of the Lord is alive. It's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. You can't just put it in and not give it out. You'll get soured. And you know what? I've been in a lot of churches and I look out at the congregation. You know what I see? They're sour. They've got fat on the Word of God and they've just got moldy and just no good and useless for the Lord. Because they put it in and put it in and they've never gave it out. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. What God says, proclaim it. You know what Jeremiah said? He said it was a fire in my bones, and he said, I couldn't take it. I had to get it out. Hey, you get the word of God in you, you won't be able to keep your mouth shut. And you ought to put it in so you can give it out, amen? Not to just get it in so everybody thinks you're cool and smart and important because you know five doctrines out of the word of God. You ought to do it, get a hold of it so you can give it out and help somebody with it. Last thing I like to say is, a kindness put off until tomorrow may become only a bitter regret. Some of you probably got some people you're mad at right now and bitter at and angry. Some of them may be sitting next to you. I don't know. Some of them may be in this church. Some of them may be here on Sunday morning. I don't know. But you know what? You have already made up your mind. You're not going to get right with them, and you're not going to say you're sorry. You're going to wait till they get right with God and come to you. Hey, God didn't say that. You know what? It's up to you to go to your brother before you come to the altar. Hey, before you try to do something for God, you're going to have to get right with them. Hey, you know what? You might be surprised if you just went to them and said, hey, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't said or did something wrong. Might be a complete misunderstanding. You don't ever know. It may be too late tomorrow, though. The Lord may come back today. Hey, and if you've got aught with your brother, the Bible says over there, you're going to have to meet in heaven. Hey, I don't want to do that. I don't want to stand before the God of all the universe and say, I had a problem with this guy, and the Lord looks at me and says, I thought I gave you a verse over there that says, you won't get forgiven unless you forgive. That's going to be rough. A kindness put off till tomorrow may become only a bitter regret. I was walking down through my dad, like I said, he was a drunk, and got home from town one day. I just got saved. I had a Soul Winner's New Testament in my pocket. Came up on the back of a truck. My dad, they had a toolbox in the back of the truck, and my dad was there with a couple of his friends, and they were all drinking. They had big quart bottles of I don't know what they were, just drinking some beer. And they were sitting there, and they were all just having a good time, you know. And I come up whistling Victory in Jesus. That's my favorite song. I came up through there whistling Victory in Jesus. My dad was lost, and he said, sing that song for us. He's jesting, making fun of me. He said, sing Victory in Jesus. So you know what I did? I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory. And I sang that whole song. I remember the man sitting in the middle of those two guys, my dad and his other buddy, and that guy in the middle, tears started flowing down out of his eyes. And I remember that guy, he said, I'm tired of this. He said, I want what you got. That's exactly what he said. He climbed off the back of that truck, poured his beer out on the ground, and said, can you show me what you got? I opened up a Bible, and he got saved right on the spot. My dad was there. My dad just kind of shoved it off, no big deal. But the guy, it was his first cousin that was with him. These guys were probably in their 40s or 50s. He got off the back of his truck, got in his car. The guy that got saved was riding with him, and he said, he cussed him, called him everything. He said, don't you ever come back to my house. Don't you come around my family. I hate you. As far as I'm concerned, you're dead. You know why? Because his heart was pricked. And just as something as simple as trying to have a testimony for Jesus Christ will affect others. And it affected him so much so that he got saved. And when I preached this sermon the first time, he died actually, he probably died about 3 years ago. That guy that got saved is probably 42 years old. He was sitting in town in his car, had a massive stroke at 42 years old and died. He only got saved about 2 years before that. Hey, you never know. You never know. A kindness put off till tomorrow may become only a bitter regret. Hey, how do you think I'd have felt if I knew that I could have witnessed that guy and he'd have died and went to hell? But now I know he's in heaven because he trusted Jesus Christ. Hey, have a testimony for Jesus Christ. When God calls, answer. When it's what He says, believe it. What God says, proclaim it. You say, Brother Jason, I can't do that. I've messed up so bad, and I don't think that God's going to forgive me. I can't get it right. Listen. God is always there. I got this thing and I'll close. depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God His wrath forbear? Me, the chief of sinners, spare. I have long withstood His face, His grace, long provoked Him to His face, would not hearken to His calls, grieved Him by a thousand falls. Now incline me to repent. Let me now my sins lament. Now my foul revolt deplore. Weep, believe, and sin no more. There for me my Savior stands, holding forth His wounded hands. God is love, I know, I feel. Jesus weeps and loves me still. I'd encourage you to live this life with no regret, no remorse, so that you can say along with the Apostle Paul, "For my departure," he said, "for I am now ready to be offered." Thank you.
Then, Ash, would you come on up and play the piano a little bit? If anybody wants to use the altar while she plays, please do.